I don't believe you, but okay.
Room Radio is on the air, you motherfuckers. My name is Darian, and I am back for another week of horror bullshit coming straight to your ear holes. Don't act like you didn't ask for it, all right? You downloaded this podcast, and it's free, by the way, and you do, in fact, get what you paid for. My main man, Jason Harrell, is in the house.
Hey, hey, hey!
What's up, Big Daddy?
Nothing, glad to be back.
Good, I missed you, man.
Missed you more.
What's happening? What did we miss out on?
Well, let's see. Well, 'tis the month for starting to decorate for Halloween.
Okay.
So we got that kicking off.
Nice. Your wife is diligent about posting the progress.
Yes.
And where you, I'm always seeing pictures of you on a ladder.
That's usually where I'm at.
On a ladder doing things.
Yeah, the guy who's barely able to be mobile.
Hey, I know
precariously
that.
Precariously up on top of the fucking ladder.
I know that pair of basketball shorts.
That's me. Let's see. Missed a couple of weeks of the show.
You did.
Kevin was out here from North Carolina, so we spent 2 weeks being dorks.
Nice.
Sitting on the couch, watching TV,
Very cool.
Hitting the thrift stores.
Oh, yeah? What's that code for?
Blowjob.
I knew it.
Yep.
I knew it, you fucking cheating whore.
That's right. Hey, Daddy's got a mouth to feed.
Hey, now. Yes, he does. Right on, man. Well, we missed you.
Glad to be back.
Did you stay up on the weird time loop movies that we covered last month?
Let's see. I watched, what was the last one? Donnie Darko, Final Girls. I've seen all of them, I think, but one. No, I watched John Dies at the End.
John Dies at the End.
I think I've seen them all.
Right on.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Overall, I mean, I like Donnie Darko.
I don't understand.
I know
that.
You don't understand.
I don't
that.
Get it.
I love The Final Girls.
Okay, I love that one.
John Dies at the End's a fun flick.
Sure.
And I don't remember the other one.
It was.
Oh, it was Jacket.
Yes, the Jacket. Well, you were here.
I was
for the
here
Jacket.
For that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little confused about most of them, except for The Final Girls.
I'd say. The Jacket's probably my least favorite out of all of them.
Very serious.
Yeah, it's like not a very uplifting movie.
No, not at all. Favorite's got to be Final Girls, right?
Yeah,
out
it is.
Mine, for
yeah,
sure.
Love The Final Girls.
Right on, man. Well, I'm glad you at least stayed up with us.
Oh, of course.
Well, dude, we got some horror news. We got some listener mail.
Okay.
Why don't we jump right into some horror news there, Hot
Roll
Body?
It.
Yes, I called you Hot Body.
I know you
See
did.
See how I did that?
Trying to win me back?
Yes, I am. I'm gonna regain your affections there, Jason Harrell.
Horror news.
Yes, sir. What do you got?
Only two things, both okay. Physical media related. October 30th. Will be a, let's see, pre-orders are currently available for an October 30th release of a Ginger Snaps trilogy from Second Sight Films, if you're interested.
I might look into that.
I thought you might. I know you're a little bit of a fan.
I am. Really, the first one's as good
the first
as
one's the strongest.
Get.
Second yeah. one is okay.
Third one
ooh, boy.
Does not make a lick of sense. You just got to go with it.
Yeah. And then the other thing is there is a limited release of, this is by Umbrella Films out of Australia, of a 4K Talk to Me 4K release, but with a replica of the
oh,
hand.
You get the hand also.
But it actually comes plain.
Oh.
So you put whatever graffiti on it that you want to.
Very cool.
I have ordered this.
Very nice.
I am hoping that it arrives before the Halloween party.
Oh, we have to.
And then everybody can tat it up.
Or I can take it into the bathroom with me. And I'll put my own tattoo on it.
I bet you will.
Is that a pube? I'm not touching that thing.
It is about the size of a tattoo needle. So
you bet your sweet ass it is.
Dip your cock in some ink. And
good to go. All right on, man. You got anything else?
That's it.
Posters are out right now for the new Mike Flanagan Netflix series, Fall of the House of Usher.
Hmm.
You've seen The Haunting of Hill House.
So all the Flanagan.
Did you see the new one, the fucking Midnight Club, I think it's called?
Yeah.
I started it.
Did not care for it. Overall. It had its high points.
It's more of a family-oriented situation, right?
No, because it's like a hospice center.
Yeah.
For kids. Yeah.
I saw the first episode. That was.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Okay.
Like I said, it's got its high points. No, I wouldn't say it's an anthology. It's a continuing storyline, but they deviate by. They're all part of this little circle jerk group of storytellers. So, I mean, I guess you could kind of call that an anthology. But if you're not willing to call Trick or Treat an anthology, I'm not letting you fucking call this an anthology.
I'll call whatever I want an anthology. I'm excited for it, man. It sounds good. Popcorn Fright's Wicked Weekend Film Festival is debuting VHS 85 and Pet Sematary Bloodlines, the prequel to Pet Sematary. I'm excited for both of these.
Yeah. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, dude. I'm ready for a new VHS movie. I don't know about this Pet Sematary business, man. So here's my question. Is it going to be – it's a prequel, obviously. Prequel to the original Pet Sematary or the new one where they did the gender swap thing?
Lord only knows.
Does it even I guess it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, I guess because it depends on how far ahead the prequel happens.
So the scuttlebutt about – is that it's all about the Judd Crandall with his wife situation.
Oh, okay.
So I'm interested. I'll check it out.
Yeah. It couldn't be worse than that last one. I mean, the last one was fine, but it wasn't anything special.
No, I would still say it's better than Pet Sematary 2 with Edward Furlong.
Hey.
That's an A.
You will not besmirch the Furlong.
The Fat Long. Oh, no. Horror-themed pinball game, Pinball M. is coming later this year. It's going to have licensed tables. So it's basically a video game, but, you know,
sure.
The different themes. It's going to have licensed horror themes. One of them is Child's Play. Another one is Dead by Daylight.
Now, is this physical pinball mechanics, or does it use like a video table?
No, it's going to be a console. So you're going to play it on your TV.
Oh, okay. So there's actually I'm a bit of a pinball dork.
Oh, are you?
I am. So there's a company out there that actually makes a couple of horror-themed pinball machines.
Oh, nice.
And the one that is so amazing is it's a Halloween-themed pinball machine.
Very cool.
And as soon as it becomes available, it's gone. Sells out within nanoseconds.
Yeah.
They had one recently also. I can't remember what it was based on, but that one just like that. And
nice.
Like it, they're very fucking expensive. Pinball machines as a whole are expensive, but these fuckers are right there at the 10 grand mark.
Motherfuck.
Yeah.
So,
and they go like that.
So, little side story here. When I first got on with the company that I work for now, one of our clients was a bar in town that was going out of business. They had an Elvira pinball machine.
Nice.
And they were just letting shit go. What do you want? Bar stools? There goes all our alcohol.
Yeah.
Guy said, $150.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Pinball machine is yours.
Yeah.
I was living in an apartment at the time.
Yeah.
On the second floor. I'm like, oh.
Not the most compact of things.
I called I had $150 in my pocket. Take it. Called my wife. She's like, there's no fucking way. You're bringing home a fucking pinball machine in our second story apartment. And that is
that's the story.
The tragedy.
That
of
is
the Elvira
tragic.
Pinball
Man,
machine.
Man, that is devastating.
It is. Fuck! 10,000. Oh, whatever. Did you ever get around to watching Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey?
Never did.
You're not going to like it.
I know.
As a slasher, it's not bad. The fucking special effects, though, the Pooh Bear and the Piglet. Yeah, yeah. Piglet was kind of a badass, but Pooh Bear.
Yeah, it was the visuals that kind of turned me off. It wasn't the premise. I mean, I was down with the premise.
Sure.
But visually, everybody kind of looked like Pooh.
Yeah. Sequel confirmed.
Oh, boy.
Already shooting.
Well, they probably made the other one for $150, so
pretty
pure
much.
Profit.
Yeah, big profit.
Makes
on
sense.
That one. Lastly, it looks like Hammer Films has recently been purchased, and a lot of money has been heavily invested into it. So we can look forward to a new release of Hammer Films coming at us.
Nice.
They put out some pretty decent stuff last time they made a run of it. That let me in. The Americanization of Let the Right One In,
mm-hmm.
That was a Hammer film. Wakewood, you ever seen Wakewood?
Can't recall.
It's basically Pet Sematary in Europe.
I didn't know Let Me In was from them.
Yeah. There's a couple other ones, too, man. Hmm. Not bad stuff. You can't go back to the Christopher Lee days, though.
Did you see a purchase price by chance?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure it was a pretty heavy amount.
More than $20, I'm sure.
More than $150. And you cannot get Hammer Films into a second-story apartment there, Jason. God damn it! Right on, man. That's all we got on the horror news. How about some listener mail?
Roll it.
Let's do it.
Listener mail.
Yes, sir. We got an email here, and then we got some voicemails, Jason. Let's just see who's coming in on the email line. Here comes all the way from Sydney, Australia. It's our main man, Tim.
G'day, mate.
The Dummy of Horror. Subject line, finally. Hi, everyone. Long time no chat. So before I get into horror talks, I would just like to apologize for my lack of communication over the past few weeks. I was taken to the hospital with a very severe case of pneumonia and came close to meeting the Reaper. Luckily for me, the Reaper didn't like my face and decided to keep me here for a little while longer. Now, I understand that this is no excuse for missing the emails, so here I am on my knees, ready to swallow whatever you give me to swallow. He's talking to you, man.
I
me.
Honestly never thought this could get gayer.
Oh, wait till Tony's email. Darian, from the pictures that Tony has found, it looks like you enjoy a mouthful of salty baby gravy. But this week, you deserve a rest, so let me be the one to take the load. So, on to the real talk. Three on a meat hook. Since I've missed a few, I would like to just give you a list from 2 weeks ago about horror TV shows. Number three, Stranger Things. Number two, The Walking Dead. Number one, Supernatural. I'm shocked no one mentioned it. You're kind of a supernatural guy, aren't you there, Jack?
I love those idiots.
I'm not mad at it. It's fuck it, what, 19, 22 seasons?
Something
like that?
1,000 seasons, 6,000 episodes.
Fucking guys are in retirement homes now.
They are.
God.
They traded in that muscle car for electric wheelchairs.
Yeah, rascals. Yeah. what else? This week's Meat Hook top three final girls. Number three, Kirstie Cotton, I should say, from Hellraiser. Number two, Jenny, Friday the 13th, part two. Number one, Ellen Brody, Jaws the Revenge.
Oh, goodness. Cut it out.
She's an 80-year-old fighting a shark. Does she ever fight the shark? She goes out on a boat, and then her son comes and rescues her. That's about it, man. On to this week's Terradome. Dude, I'm taking Brundlefly. I don't know how he wins, but he just does, okay? Darian, you are a toxic Avenger. Got you this time. Yep, you're right. So, Pope's Exorcist. I need to rewatch this film since I kind of fell asleep in the middle of it, but I have to say Russell Crowe was actually highly entertaining in this film. Still, I gotta be honest, I'm so over possession films. They really do nothing new, and it's the same old song and dance. I will watch this again, but I'm not looking forward to it. I think I've taken enough of your time this week. Hope everyone is happy, healthy, and smiling. I'll catch you next time. Much love to you all. Tim.
TTYL.
Very cool, Tim. Thanks for writing in.
Yeah, I was listening to his latest podcast and heard that he was, I guess, fucking laid out with the pneumonia.
Mm.
So hope you're better, Tim.
Yeah, Tim. Glad you're feeling better, big guy.
Good job beating the Reaper.
You did it. You did it again. What else we got here? Let's get down to Southern California. Oh, here comes Tony.
Tony. Hey, yo.
Subject line, Darian is a turd, of course. Laura Barnes is hotter than Seth Brundle. Laura wins. Did we ever really get to see Laura? All we saw was a profile pic of, oh no, we got to see Laura.
Yeah, the little clip.
And the party where people are taking shits on her face or whatever. three on a meat hook, final girls. Number three, Neru from Prey. Question is, can Neru beat Dutch? That's a good question. Clearly not, because while she has the scorpion harpoon bungee situation, Dutch has a fucking grenade launcher, right? No way. Number two, Needy from Jennifer's Body. Sure, she has a box cutter, which is used for cutting boxes. number one, Sarah Carter, The Descent. Juno was hot, but she definitely deserved the climbing axe to the neck. Which pissed me off, Tony, when you go to the sequel and you find out that she survived the climbing axe to the neck. She was screaming hot, though. Horror High wasn't very good. Low budget, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Pope's Exorcist was okay. The CGI at the end wasn't very good. Specifically, Russell Crowe's stretched out face. Cue the mountain lion. Rar, 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 rar. Oh, that's a nice one. My flawed lover, Dildo Hands, featuring me, molesting me, with some sci-fi cock hands.
This is like a precursor to Edward Penis Hands.
But it's my whole forearm, God damn it. Right on, Tony. Thanks for the artwork, amigo. I think I'm going to become a gay porn superstar, at least if Tony gets his way. That's all we got on the emails, hot dog. How about some voicemails, yeah?
You.
All right, let's get down to our main man in Alabama. Here comes Alan.
Pat, what's up?
What's up, Alan?
Everybody's doing good. So, let's see. Paradome, I guess, yeah, give me Laura Barnes.
You got it.
Mr. Daring, your Toxic Avenger.
I am.
And Meat Hook. Final Girls. Lori Strode, Ripley.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy, even though she got killed in part three. Anyway,
I can't get behind that.
So I've watched a lot of stuff this week. I've been sick. I watched a movie called Uncle Peckerhead. That was on Tubi. That was a lot of fun.
Alrighty.
I watched Mon Mon Monsters on Shudder. That really wasn't what I expected.
Yeah.
I watched this comedy called Heavy Trip. Dread. They're Bloody Disgusting put it out for some reason. It wasn't really horror, but it was really funny. Watch most stuff, can't remember all of it. Anyway, hope everybody's doing good. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
Beautiful. Thanks for calling in, Alan.
Get better, Alan.
Yeah, bud. Something's going around, dude. Everybody's getting sick on us all of a sudden. I don't know if I care for that. Let's see here. Let's get down to Southern California again. Here comes the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Tom Hardy.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. Headed room. How's my favorite degenerate?
Good.
We're here.
Hope all is well. Well, I don't know, Mr. Darian. It sounds like Buddy's out of town there, so.
He is.
I guess you might just be either hanging out with Jason or playing with yourself like they always. But,
diddle.
Hey, Buddy, have a safe trip. By the way, Darian, I was thinking about it. The way he was described, like, oh, I'm going up to Washington for 2 weeks, and then I'm going to be over here for 4 weeks, but it could be an additional 4 weeks.
You're right.
That sounded like a total fucking setup, man. You better stick a tracker on that.
Oh, he's cartel.
That's what it is.
Hey, on the horror news, you guys were talking about horror musicals.
Yeah.
And I actually got to see the Evil Dead horror musical when it was over in Vegas. And I got to say, it was fucking great, man.
Nice.
That was fun. But I can't imagine, like, a Jaws musical or the making of Jaws, I believe it was.
You're now making musical documentaries.
Because it's got to come off of, like, a fun flick. Not that Jaws isn't fun, but it's a much more serious flick, you know? So, like, when you're watching the Evil Dead, the silliness like transferred over well for a musical, and I'm not a musical guy.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I know the whole thing is the whole Evil Dead musical is on the YouTube.
Oh,
if you want to check it out. Like I said, it's pretty fun. It's enjoyable. They do have like a splatter zone where
you're going to get
covered
wet
in all the blood of the show.
Very
it was
nice.
A good time, man. I know it's not there no more, but it was a good time.
Cool.
Anyway, moving on. On the Terror Dome, we have the Brundle Fly versus the,
Laura Barnes.
Some ghost, man.
Some ghost chick.
I'm just not a ghost guy.
Okay.
So give me the Brundle Fly.
You got it?
I figure he can download it onto a floppy disk and then he'll never be able to get up on the internet or some fucking thing. I don't know what.
He'll run Norton antivirus on her ass.
Fly.
You got
and,
it, man.
What else? Oh, on the educating department.
Come on now.
Man. I got you. On
let's get. Let's do it.
Ask. I know I got you.
Let's get it.
It's going to have to be the Toxic Avenger. Man.
You got me.
That was a good hint, Darian. When I can figure them out, those are good hints.
Okay, perfect.
Also, on the what are you looking at?
Sir.
I just got to catch another flick. I watched Return of the Living Dead again.
Attaboy.
I was just having one of those days where I just needed...
good stuff.
A comfort food flick,
yeah.
And Return of the Living Dead is always a good go-to, man.
Nice.
I don't remember the last time you saw it, but it's still fucking just as good as your
Oh, yeah.
The characters, and I gotta say, I as much as I enjoy the flick, I always appreciate it a
G-P, as he is wont to do. Now, that's a movie that I don't think... every 4 or 5 years, there's always all this rumors flying around about a Return of the Living Dead remake or redo or reimagining. No way, dude.
You cannot recapture that magic.
No way. The whole point of it was that they kind of captured the spirit of the youth of that era.
Yep.
And if you did it now, it would just be a bunch of kids sitting around on their phones.
And you are not going to get the same doofuses.
No.
Or what's the term?
Doofy?
No. You had called them something. I can't remember what you had called them.
I don't know.
A couple of chuckleheads or something.
Something like that sounds about right. Right on. He did call back, Mr. Tom Hardy.
Gee, mother.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. As I was saying, I always appreciate it a little more after watching it.
Sure.
Because you always think of it as just kind of a, silly throwaway flick, but I mean, there's some really good character development in it. You know, it's a lot better than you think it is upon first viewing, in my opinion.
It's fabulous.
Sure.
Let me just get on the meat hooks here. I know I'm throwing it on.
No, you're fine.
What do we got? The Survivor Girls.
Survivor Girls.
You know what? Let me see here. Number one, number three, let's say.
Okay.
Give me Nancy from Elm Street. I mean, I know she doesn't survive three, the best one of the series, but her character, I love her character and the first and the third one.
Why?
I
don't get it.
The new nightmare was okay. I mean, she's fucking a master of traps and all this shit. She's proactive. She's a fighter.
She's proactive.
I'll take fucking Nancy. For number two,
she multitasks.
My personal favorite final girl from the Friday series. I know everybody loves Jenny from part two, but I've always been partial to Chris from part three.
Okay.
And she fucks up Jason, too.
Yeah,
but
she does.
She fucking hangs his ass. She's the one responsible for that big ass clip in his head.
That's
from
true.
The fucking act she put into
yep.
him when he was hanging. So I don't know. I've always fucking loved her.
Sure.
And then for my number one, gotta be the chick from The Descent. I think it's Sarah.
Wow.
Man, that girl.
That's two for Sarah.
Oh man, and she's still fucking fighting.
Well.
So yeah, put me down. I would like to give an honorable mention.
Sure.
I think it's Geraldine, I can't remember how you pronounce her name, from Demon Knight. Like, the last good thing that fucking Jada Pinkett ever did.
Oh, yeah.
But she was pretty damn good, too. I'd give her,
yeah, she was.
Give her a fucking special,
yeah.
special thing, but I don't think she made it. Anyway, hope all is well. I'll stop droning on here. Love you like family. Bye, man.
Love you, too, Tom Hardy. Thanks Ta-ta. For calling in. He's got some good picks for Final Girls there, Jason.
He does. And at least all of them were true Final Girls, unlike your Amanda.
Amanda.
Isn't it Amanda from Saw?
I mean, I feel like an argument could be made for her being a final
she
girl.
She was a final girl-ish in the first one only.
Right. But she was
but then final you're, girl-ish. You're just, oh, come on.
In
no.
the second one.
The essential part of being a final girl is that you survive the killer. You can't be in cahoots with the killer.
Sure you can. Hey, you still survived him, didn't you? Jason, who do you think would win in a fight between Laura Barnes and Seth Brundle?
Oh, anybody that can vomit acid's got to win.
I'm with you. Right on.
Ghost be damned.
I don't know if she can get into like a DOS-based system. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those old green screens, no way. Right on. That's all we got in the listener mail, amigo. You got anything for Tom Hardy, Alan, Tony, or Tim?
Love ya.
Love you guys. It's movie time.
Meet Vernon Potts. This is what they did to him. Stop! Watch him as he turns into a beast, too grotesque to believe, and terrorizes his teachers to death. See Vernon Potts turn on to become the demon of Horror High.
I make that out to be a laboratory beaker, Lieutenant.
We found it close to the coach's body.
The world's most evil teenage mind creates terror for the school that becomes known as Horror High. A distorted trip into the nightmare of death.
Well, you know how some drugs can change a person mentally? Well, I've been trying to prove that you can change them physically as well.
See the terror that stalks the hallowed halls of Har High.
Vernon, where is Mr. Mumps?
He's dead. He was part of the experiment. That's why I've got to give it up.
You just turn on the light.
There's a maniac running loose around here and two people dead already.
Guess you're going to have to play with the big boys today, huh?
Give it back.
Do you dare enroll in Horror High?
What the hell is that ungodly sound you're making?
See All-Pro John Nyland as another victim of Vernon's rage. See Horror High, opening soon in this area.
Is a scream. For a high is a blast.
That's right, Jason. It's Horror High from 1973.
Boy, is it ever.
Somehow this fucking thing got 5 stars on IMDb. Bow, wow,
wow. 4 stars just for the music.
That's all it is, really. Directed by Larry Enstofer, written by J.D. Fiegelson, stars Pat Carty, Austin Stoker, and Rosie Holetic.
This movie was a career crusher.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking at everybody's IMD pages.
Nothing.
Nobody. Fucking crickets yep. once everybody was in this
Nowhere.
Thing.
And rightfully so. Jesus Christ. So we start off. We're in early 70s, middle America, fairly white bread high school, and we're going to meet our protagonist, a kid by the name of Vernon Potts, who I thought looked kind of like Kevin Bacon a little bit, just with an emo haircut and some thick glasses.
Okay.
A little bit. He's the class nerd, and he is all about chemistry and biology.
And duffel bags. Or leather doctor bags.
Bicycles. A lot of bicycles going on.
And hair helmets.
Oh, yeah. Fucking helmet on this dude. He's sitting in his English class. His English professor is Mrs. Grindstaff,
mm-hmm.
who looks just like my maternal grandmother, by the way. riveting young lady. Real shrew of a piece of work. Class, she's like teaching the lesson, and she's asking the class questions, and Vernon is just quietly doodling away on his chemistry notebook, coming up with formulae and equations and other things.
things that are not literature or
drawing
English.
Drawing angles, I think. And she's like, Vernon, what's the answer to the question? And he's like, I wasn't paying attention. So she kind of humiliates him a little bit, and the other doofuses there in the class are all chuckling. After class gets out, she's like, Vernon, I need you to stay after class. So he goes up and sits down, and she's like, you didn't turn in your paper on the paper that I told you to write. So he's like, yeah, I did. I had to turn it in. And she's like, no, you turned this in. This is your chemistry paper. So he's like, oh, shit. Oh, I just turned in the wrong one. He jumps into his leather doctor bag and pulls out the right paper, and he's like, oh, here you go. I just handed you the wrong one. Sorry about that. And she's like, God damn it, Vernon. And then she takes her old school paper slicer and chops up his chemistry paper.
Yeah, you could see that thing coming back in the movie mile away.
I love it when they point out murder weapons in the first 8 minutes. Those things suck. I have one of those at my office. If you put more than two sheets of paper in there,
it just bends the paper.
Now you got to go get the vacuum because you just made a big fucking mess. So she puts his chemistry paper in there and starts shredding that with the paper chopper thingy. And then she's like, well, maybe next time you'll turn in the right paper. And remember that my class is just as important as everybody else's. And he's like, God damn it. All right, whatever. I still have my notes. I can just rewrite the paper. I don't think they're allowed to do that. At least not these days. I don't know.
Early 70s.
Early 70s, you could go out there and just right
beat
hook.
Beat a child to
right
death.
Right hook a kid. No fucking reason whatsoever.
Makes me remember the paddles that were in my elementary school.
Oh, yeah. We had one, too.
Yeah.
Now, I never saw it used, but it was hanging.
Oh, I felt it used.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, ours was just prominently displayed.
One was just for running upstairs.
Really?
Just running upstairs with another. Fuck, dude. I think we might have been in the third grade, maybe?
Yeah?
Yeah, just running upstairs. That was it. To the principal's office, 1-inch thick fucking paddle.
Ooh.
Straight to the ass, man.
Wow. Bare ass or
over the clothes?
Okay, well, that's not as bad. I mean, if we're dropping trow for this, that takes it to
I mean, I did drop them proactively.
Yeah, of course. Is it my turn?
Is that all you got?
Ew. So that sucks, but he's like, oh, I still got my notes here. He's leaving the class, and then what I assume is supposed to be the school hottie, a redhead by the name of Robin, who was maybe a six, if you ask me.
Featured on the cover of Playboy in like 1970.
Really?
Well, according to IMDb.
Oh, did she have a pictorial?
I don't know. I didn't look
at
it.
I don't really care. I didn't find her that attractive, to be honest with you. She's like, oh, Vernon, you're so smart. So sorry about the way she treated you. Oh, you're just so smart. Look at you. And she's like playing with his glasses. He, of course, is a nervous wreck. So he's like, okay, thank you. And then he goes running off. Gets down to the chemistry lab where he's got like his own setup down there. And he's got a guinea pig by the name of Mr. Mumps. Why do you call the guinea pig Mr. Mumps?
Maybe it had mumps.
It said that every time he feeds it, it looks like he has mumps.
Did they say that?
That's what he said.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, so there's that. I don't probably should have that guinea pig checked out.
Yes.
Maybe you shouldn't feed him whatever he's allergic to.
And so was birth AIDS. Thanks a lot, Vernon.
Hey, Vernon, you just killed a bunch of gay guys, you fucker. So that's Mr. Mumps. And while he goes down there to check on Mr. Mumps and do some work, there's a black cat like trying to paw its way into Mr. Mumps' cage. And this is where we're going to meet the pervy janitor, Mr. Griggs. Now, apparently at some point in hallowed American history, janitors just lived at high schools.
Lived there and were only capable of mumbling.
Mumbling, and you knew they had like that weird glory hole situation in the girls' locker room to just beat themselves to death.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently that was socially acceptable at one point, and that's exactly what's going on. He goes in there and he starts yelling and screaming at Vernon because Vernon, like, shooed the cat off with a broom. He's like, you don't touch my cat. You touch my cat again, I'm going to punch you in the face. And he's clearly also the town drunk because he's wearing, like, a bathrobe. Right? And he's got, like, the comb over. And who the fuck hired this guy? He shouldn't be anywhere near children or teenagers or anybody, really.
And nobody.
He should probably be in a hospital somewhere. Anyway, Vernon's like, all right, I'm sorry. Just keep your cat away from Mr. Mumps. It'll be fine. That's all well and good. Then Vernon sets about, like, mixing his fucking chemicals, and he's got cylinders and beakers and Bunsen burners and all kinds of fun bubbly shit. The bell rings eventually, and he has to go to gym class. Gets down to gym class, and this is where we get a very homoerotic bullying sequence where Roger, who is Robin's boyfriend, takes Vernon's notes and does like a keep away thing with the rest of his cronies, but they're all half naked. All right. I see what you're doing here.
They were bucking for that spanking.
This is paddling. This is what you call flirting in certain areas. Is this Nightmare on Elm Street 2 all of a sudden? Sure feels like it. Vernon's like, give it back to me. Bah! And he's running around trying to get his notes back. Eventually, they take his notes and they start ripping the pages out. And that's pretty much how it goes. He goes into after that. Vernon goes and talks to the coach and tries to get excused from gym class, like all dorks do. The coach is like, "I don't think so, you fucker. Get out there and get dressed." So now we're going to cut to that night. Apparently, Vernon's method of operation here is that he leaves the chemistry lab window cracked just a little bit. After school gets out, he goes home, and then when it gets dark, he sneaks back to the school, breaks into the lab, and continues his experiments and mixing of Alka-Seltzer pellets and things of that
nature. His family has no idea where he's at and could care less.
No, well, it was explained at one point that his dad is a traveling salesman and his mom is dead.
That's true.
So there's that eliminates them from the equation. Just like Sidney Prescott's dad is a traveling construction and her mom is dead.
Yeah.
Got to get these parents out of the equation. To. So that's how he's doing all of this. So he goes back there that night, starts poking around, gets into the chemistry lab, and now he sees that Mr. Mumps is
jacked.
Fucking yeah! It's his cage is all busted open, and like he's bloody. He looks like he looked just like a regular guinea pig that somebody threw some cornstarch on.
Yeah, some ketchup with.
Pretty much, but he's like, "Oh, Mr. Pumps, what happened?" And he reaches in to try to grab him, and he bites him. He bites him again, and then he starts looking around. He sees the cat is dead, and that, of course, is about the time that the pervo janitor comes in with a boner, and he's like, get my cat. Blah, 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 blah. He roughs up Vernon a little bit, and then he kills Mr. Mumps with a broken bottle, I think.
I think it was mortal.
Oh, a pestle. Yeah, sure. Not that it fucking matters, really.
Okay.
But thank you for your accuracy. and then he makes Vernon drink one of his weird chemical concoctions. Which,
like, wouldn't you rather take an ass beating than the drink? God knows what.
Well, he said he was going to take Vernon to the cops. For what? Breaking into the chemistry right. lab and being a nerd?
I mean, he's not much of a chemist.
No.
He's just willy-nilly ready to down some concoction.
I guess. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't care. Look, we're getting way too deep into this plot.
Look, I need actual scientific analysis on this movie.
Do you want to go over his notes?
Yes.
Look at the chemical compounds. So reluctantly, Vernon drinks the smoldering schmutz there and then turns into basically Mr. Hyde. And by Mr. Hyde, I mean he gets some brown crud on his face.
He gets some hairy knuckles.
And then he starts growling and hooting like an animal and kills the janitor and stuffs him into a weird barrel of chemical waste, which you wouldn't think would be a good idea to just have
a giant drum of hydrochloric acid or
right
whatever
there
it was
in the middle of a high school.
Yeah,
because no harm could possibly come of that.
Not at all. Now, if that would have been a movie that was 10 years later,
yeah,
that would have been nuclear waste,
of course,
and mutants,
Tromaville.
Yes,
absolutely. So that's what he does, and he's apparently, like, after the actual murder, he kind of, like, comes to and tries to clean up the crime scene a little bit, stuffs the body completely into the barrel along with the body of the cat and the guinea pig. Okay, excellent. Next morning at school, he's back in the chemistry lab and there's a big exam going on. Was it just me or was there a lot of girls that were really hot for Vernon in this movie?
I only picked up on one.
Here comes number two. She somehow fucked up her test, so now she's getting all flirty with Vernon. She's like, Vernon. She's like running her fingers through his hair. What's wrong? What did I do wrong? And he's like, oh, yeah, your concoction is the wrong color. And she's like, how do I fix it, Vernon?
Yeah, but he tells her to shag off, and then she immediately is like, okay, you fruit.
Yeah, well, if he played his cards right, he could have got his dick sucked, I think.
You think so?
Hey, you want me to fix your thing? Let's talk in the fucking broom closet or whatever. he's like, you just got to dump it and start over. So apparently this is where our big 50-gallon drum of nuclear waste comes into play. She goes and pops open the big drum that's sitting in the middle of the class, goes to pour her concoction in there, and that's when she discovers the dissolved skeleton of the janitor. Big freak out. Cops come. We get to meet our chief detective. I forget his name. He's like, okay, we got
Shaft.
It was definitely Shaft.
Detective Shaft.
It was either Shaft or Dolomite, and you're a yes. fucking racist, by the way.
Please, the music that they played when that motherfucker stepped out of his car.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, there's a pimp there getting is, out of this car.
There's two white chicks in the car behind him. They're going to be all over him. He comes and he starts asking questions, and we find out, of course, that the body is Mr. Griggs. Find the body of the cat and the guinea pig in there also. Nobody suspects Vernon because he's just this timid little nerd. But they're asking him questions about, like, the chemical compound. How do you think the cat got in there? How do you think the guinea pig got in there? And Vernon's pretty much on top of it. He's like, well, clearly the cat fell in the barrel, and then Griggs tried to get the cat out and somehow fell himself in the barrel.
It's the obvious answer.
Severe alcoholic and probably retarded. That makes perfect sense. And the detective's like,
you know what, Vernon?
Case
You're
closed.
Right.
Case closed, my friend.
You're
well
a smart motherfucker, motherfucker.
that's great. So from there, we cut back to regular everyday class. Vernon is now back in Mrs. Grindstaff's class, and she's being another see you next Tuesday to him. He's failing the class, and she's like, well, you're not going to graduate if you don't pass my class, and I'm going to fail you. Unless you take Wednesday nights and come to the literary club. He's like, well, fucking, the Wednesday nights is my big chemical mixing night. I can't do that.
I think her and the rest of the hands were going to use him as a fucking stallion.
Look at that. Look at that. Laying it down on Mrs. Grindstaff. Mrs. Grindstaff. he's like, I don't want to fucking do that, but all right. And then he goes and gets fucked with by Roger and his cronies for a little bit. And then he gets flirted with by Robin for a little bit. And then eventually he makes his way, again, does the same shit, goes. And apparently every teacher in this high school is mandated to stay until 11:30 at night.
Very late.
For some fucking reason.
Yeah.
Goes back in. Mrs. Grindstaff is there. He drinks the schmutz, turns into schmutzy face Vernon, starts growling and hooting and chasing her all around.
How he gets a limp.
Yeah, limp.
Like superpowers and a limp.
And like a horse. I think it was just like a puberty inducer, really. Hey, get over here. Make a long story short, he chases her around the high school for a little while, and then eventually cuts her up in her own stupid paper fucking chopper thing, whatever those things are called. Very nice.
Optical trick there where it was like he was chopping her head off, and they switched over to the mannequin head.
Yeah.
And at first, Sarah was watching it with me, and we were like, this is the shittiest effect I have ever seen.
No.
But then they reveal that it was a mannequin.
Right. It was the detective tried.
So I was kind of proud of that for them. You
yeah?
Know? Yeah. I felt that. I'm like, you know what? They tried something here.
I feel like they had planned on using the mannequin head as a special effect.
And realized
and then somebody was like, no.
That looks terrible.
We're not fooling anybody with that fucker. it's possible. I don't know. But then, yeah, basically that's what happens. And then the detective is recreating the scene. And he's like, and then he did like that, and then the head came off just like this mannequin here. How do you think that happened? I don't know. Again, question everybody. No way it could have been Vernon because he's just this
Lovable loser.
Yeah, he's just a loser, and you know, he couldn't hurt a fly. So that's going pretty well. Now Robin is getting even more flirty with him. And she found out about Roger bullying him and tearing up his chemistry notes. So she doesn't break up with Roger, but she told Roger if he does it again, then she'll break up with him. So Roger is practicing for the big game. So Coach calls Vernon into the office. And the coach is like, hey, man, Roger's my star player. I got a chance to go to state championship next season. I can't have him failing chemistry. So what I need you to do, Vernon, is you just let him cheat off your test, and then I'll write you a pass for gym class for the whole rest of the year. And Vernon's like, oh, yeah, no. Oh, no, I can't let him do that. That's cheating. And he's like, yeah, I know. But do you want to come to gym class and continue to get fucked with in a very homoerotic kind of way? Or do you want to go fuck around with chemicals? And he's like, oh, God. All right, call me by 10 o'clock tonight and let me know your answer. In the meantime, he's got a date with Robin to go help her study at her parents' house. Her parents are out of town, and Roger's off studying game film. So it's about 8 o'clock when he gets to Robin's house. You can tell she's just all about Vernon's fucking pencil dick. She's like leaning in while he's reading notes.
Crush my cervix with your with your pestle.
Yes. Tell me more about chemical compositions, you fucking nerd. He's like, oh, I don't know what's going on. You're just so smart. You could do anything. Dude, there was a different approach. Have you ever seen a movie called The Majorettes?
No.
It's a 80s slasher. It's much better than this. But there is a sequence in that movie where the town hottie tries to get on the nerd. And she takes him out in the car, and she's trying to fuck him in the back of the car. And he's like, oh, what am I going to do? And eventually the town hottie comes clean. She's like, look, I got pregnant by the drug dealer. I need you to fuck me so I was going to try to pass the baby off as yours because you have a future and he doesn't. Genius. Genius writing right there. I'm surprised that hasn't been used more often.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. She's all hot and bothered, but he's got to go and let the coach know what's going on. So he goes back to his house. He was supposed to call the coach, but while he was waiting for, what was it, 10 o'clock to roll around to call the coach.
Yeah, because, of course, the coach,
also, is still there.
It's got to be there super late.
Absolutely. His phone rings, and it's Roger. Now, Roger was arrested for being the murderer because they found him running around the school at night. Roger's like, hey, man, I know you're the killer, and I've got all the proof I need. I'm going to turn you into the cops unless you meet me. And Vernon's like, what are you doing? Okay, just meet me at the school in an hour. So him, Roger, and the coach are there. Basically, what we get here is Vernon kills the coach by putting on some football cleats and stomping him to death. Yeah. I'll give you points for that. That was inventive.
River dancing on his chest.
Sure. Bum, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. But the detective had like this very elaborate trap ambush situation set up because clearly all the murders are happening at night there at the school. So he's just got cops all over the place in the school. Roger pops up. Big cat and mouse thing between, second cat and mouse thing, because first it was a cat and mouse thing between Vernon and the coach. Now he's chasing Roger around. Roger's like, I knew it was you, you fucker. Vernon pulls Roger through a window, and I think he kills Roger, right? Or does he just beat the crap out of him?
Oh, boy.
He killed him. Or he was on top of Roger, pummeling him.
Yeah, pummeled him.
When the cops showed up and opened fire on Vernon, right?
No, because you would be skipping over him chasing the girl around the
high school. Oh, that's right, because Robin showed up there also.
Yeah.
And she's like, Roger's here, it's a trap. Ah.
Yeah.
That's right. And then, he chases. He just starts, he's like a dog.
He's just chasing people.
He's just chasing cars, really.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how he kills Roger.
I remember he pulled him through the window because Roger was like, I got you.
Well, he ends up outside
with
the girl, though.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't remember.
I think he might have killed Roger and then cornered the girl, and that's when the cops surrounded him. Anyway, Vernon gets firing squatted, and that's pretty much the end of your movie right there.
Very abruptly, yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting him to, like, at least...
Honestly, you know. I thought he was going to end up hooking up with the girl.
Yeah.
Like, once he picked everybody off, I thought Roger was going to get blamed for the murders.
Yeah.
Roger be left to rot in prison.
Happy ending.
There you go.
And
but that is not at all how it played out.
Quit drinking that crap, and we'll call it good. Nope. They just Swiss cheesed Vernon and called it a day, really.
Yeah.
What did you think of Horror High, hot dog?
Oh, boy. I was entertained, but for mostly all the wrong reasons. The music was laughable.
It was amazing.
I don't know if you noticed the close-up of Vernon's fingernails when he was on the phone, but they were absurdly long.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ridiculously long. This is not when he's morphed into...
No.
You know, Mr. Hyde or anything.
They probably just forgot to take those off from a previous scene. So
I don't know. I think he was just those were 70s Coke fingers.
Practicing cokehead, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say.
Explain the why his career went nowhere.
That makes sense. Well, it explains why he's so skinny also.
It was fine. I mean, but I still rate it very low.
Yeah.
It's horrible to watch because it has... tons of artifacts in, like, the film grain and stuff.
Yeah.
Some really shit editing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, cigarette burns in the film. Mm-hmm. A lot of issues.
I'm not mad at it. I look at movies like this like a time capsule. At some point, somebody watched this movie and found it absolutely terrifying.
Sure.
I don't know who it was. It was long before my time. But... It's a classic retelling of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with an overtone of bullying and homoeroticism.
And that was the film they were watching in class also.
What?
Dr. Jekyll and Mr.
Oh, that's
Hyde.
Right. Mr. Hyde. It's fine. It's I watched it with my kids.
Yeah.
They didn't understand a fucking thing of what was going on. I just told them he drank
too
much.
Did they appreciate the porn music?
No.
No, okay.
No. You kidding me? They grew up on a diet of Wiz Khalifa. Porn
That's
music.
True.
In the meantime, I'm trying to hide my boner under a pillow because I'm having a Pavlovian reaction. It's fine. You can watch it for free on YouTube if you're interested in Mates, or Jason found it on Plex.
Plex, yep.
There is a sequel, Return to Horror High. I'm intrigued.
The 80s one?
Yes.
Was it actually a sequel?
It's called...
Well, in more than name.
I have no idea. I've never seen it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I saw it back in the 80s, but I remember nothing about it.
It's not the one with George Clooney, is it?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's the one with the skeleton cheerleader?
Yes, on the cover. That's the only thing I remember of it. I might check it out just to fucking see if it has anything to do with anything. I'd hate to think that Vernon comes back.
Oh, according to IMDb, he does not.
Okay, perfect.
To the film industry as a whole.
He is now a supermarket checker somewhere in La Crescentia. Yeah, check it out, Inmate. I'm gonna say you probably skip this. Unless you're just wanting something to have on while you do the laundry or something, you probably skip this one. Let's take us a little break there, J-Bo.
All right.
Projection of fear.
Hey, inmates. If you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
We are back, Jason.
Yep.
We did it. We made it, and then we went to the bathroom together, and now we're back. Well done.
What are those bumps?
Don't worry about those.
Okay,
I've got an ointment.
Good.
Right on, man. Are you ready for this week's meat hook, my friend?
Heck yeah.
Three on a meat hook.
This week's meat hook, top three horror movies of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're already in the 70s, what do you got at number three, J-Bo?
My number three, probably going to surprise you, the 1978 Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Okay, Donald Sutherland.
A movie that every time I watch it, I just always love it.
I like it, too. Have you ever seen the original?
I never watched the original.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's an interesting show.
Yeah.
Not nearly as good as that one. And I think wasn't there like a 1985 remake?
There's been several.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's pretty good, though.
And then, of course, several that are just clearly ripoffs of the same story.
Right. Pod people situation. Yeah, exactly. Yep. I get it. My number three, probably one of, if not my favorite ghost stories of all time, The Legend of Hell House.
Hmm.
Horny fucking movie.
I see why it's on your top three.
It is. It's pretty horny. I like the house, the sound design of it, like the use of fog and shadows is great. I still say it's superior to The Haunting. That being The Haunting of Hell House, or The Haunting of Hill House. This one being The Legend of Hell House. I get them confused all the time, but I think this one's better than The Haunting of Hill, The Haunting, which is the adaptation.
Because it's a horny movie.
It is horny. And if you watch the Shirley Jackson adaptation of the Shirley Jackson novel, it's all about mental illness. That's all it is. You know, there's like a light dusting of possible ghosties, but at the end, it could just easily be crazy. As opposed to this one, it's definitely ghosts, and they're going to try and have sex with you, Jason.
Yeah.
Hey, no.
My favorite kind of ghost.
Hey. How about number two, big dog?
Oh, let's see. My number two, Halloween.
Okay. That's also my number one.
Nice.
But my number two is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Thought it might be.
Yeah. I know that you can't see past the tragedy that befell young Franklin.
Poor old Franklin.
Or the 30-second raspberry that he blew.
That motherfucker.
And the fucking puddle of spit that I'm sure he left. I love it because it's dirty and dingy, and it takes you to a gross, hot, stinky place. And that's something that, while it has been recreated several times since then, I don't think it's ever been recreated as effectively or on such a minuscule budget as what? What, you're getting a stinky face?
No. I was just thinking, like, maybe I can't appreciate that as much as other people because, dude, I just call them cousins.
What do you mean? Oh, because you're friend? Yeah, okay.
Like legitimately. Like, I definitely have this small little sect of my mother's side of the family.
Okay.
Where it's just those people, short of cannibalism.
Sure.
And you never know.
Hey.
But, you know, the dingy, the disgusting,
yeah.
The no cleanliness,
yeah.
No hygiene,
yeah.
All of that. The fucking rundown shack.
Ugh.
I mean, just all of that.
Ugh.
The never cleaning anything. So, to me, it just reminds me of motherfuckers I know.
There you go. See, you're not even worried about it. that would be my number two. What did you like so much about Halloween, buddy?
It's just classic, man.
Right?
It nails the, even though its filming location wasn't very, you know, seasonal, they came off with that presentation of Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, you really get the vibes. I wonder how much I would appreciate the movie if you took that soundtrack out of it.
That's a good question.
Because it really establishes the pacing so much.
Oh, yeah.
It really establishes the stalking and the dread and so many things. I wonder how effective that movie would be. I'd love to see somebody take that and just overlay a different soundtrack and see.
Put like the Seinfeld.
Sure. it's just classic, man.
I agree. I agree.
You can't beat The Shape.
The Shape is great. My favorite aspect of it is that it happens in such a quiet suburban neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Like the majority of the carnage takes place there. It goes into high school and back and all that stuff. But that's a place leading up to that you always felt safe. You know, you go, you lock your doors, you close your windows, you're good. You're supposed to be good. But here comes this fucking killing machine.
Yeah.
And he doesn't give a shit about your doors or your windows or anything, really. And he's really only after one person. But if any, like, people are just around that individual, they're
toast. Yeah.
Yeah. And it really sucks, man. Halloween Ends.
Oh, boy.
It kind of... I don't want to say it ruined the whole thing for me, but it really does not. It's not.
You just have to stop. Like, you have to stop prior to those movies, man.
All three of them, you think?
All three of them. All three of those movies.
I like the first. I like the first one. I wasn't mad at the second one. Halloween Ends, though, man. Ugh. All right, enough about me. How about number one there, J-Bo?
My number one, the obvious, The Exorcist.
The Exorcist, I figured that would be yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? Well, I know you haven't seen the trailers, but what do you think about this new trilogy situation?
I embrace it. I look forward to it. Sarah did watch the new trailer that released, I think, today for the new one.
Okay.
And she says it looks great to her.
Nice.
4K coming out for the original Exorcist this month. I think it's this month.
Very cool.
So looking forward to rewatching that. Speaking of Sarah, let me give you her top three real quick. Her number three, Jaws.
Okay.
Her number two, Halloween, and number one, The Exorcist.
Very cool.
Some solid hitters in there.
Yep, big ones. That was just money in the bank as far as horror films go. The whole 70s, you know?
Some good stuff came out
of
that.
Yeah, and then you get into the
Horror High.
I mean, can you go there? I don't know why it's not on anybody's list. Right on, dude. I guess it's Terror Dome time, amigo.
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
I'm not gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in. I'm gonna bash them right the fuck in. I'll kill you all. I'll try to be crazy. And I'll kill you all. Dream come true.
6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face, the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
Welcome to the Terror Dome.
First, last week's winner. In singles competition, we had Laura Barnes from Unfriended versus Seth Brundle from The Fly. The trap had worked perfectly. The teleportation pods were an abject failure, and Brundle knew that from the start. But their secondary function operated flawlessly. The entrapment and containment of spiritual energy. Laura had made his life a living hell as his student. Now he would make her afterlife much the same. With a vote of 8-6, Brundlefly advances over Laura Barnes, Jason.
Nice.
He could be dangerous. He could. Run the fly.
Yeah.
Disgusting, man.
He'll impregnate you with a giant maggot.
He'll put that acidy spit on you.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. And somehow still find time to have sex with Gina Davis, which I don't think is fair.
Just imagine how acidic that those rope slingings were.
Ugh.
She's just got scorch marks down her back.
Ah, shit. Good thing he didn't give you a facial, sweetie. Let's take a look at this week's matchup, shall we? As usual, inmates, bear with me. I'm not much of a writer. Miskatonic University had fully funded Dr. Pretorius' research for decades. For decades, he'd led them astray. The department heads were paying him for the construction and successful operation of a sonic resonator. The resonator itself had been built and field-tested years ago. It stimulated the brain's pineal gland, or third eye, and sent Dr. Pretorius to worlds beyond. That was where he found inspiration. His weakness had always been the pleasures of the flesh, but finding a willing participant for some of his more violent desires had been next to impossible. That was why the university funding had to continue. His new research and experimentation, the reanimation of dead flesh. Using the dismembered bodies of murdered prostitutes, he would build and reanimate the perfect love slave to fulfill his darkest desires. The perfect participant, a Frankenhooker. We have Dr. Pretorius from Beyond versus the Frankenhooker. Jason, how say you?
Want a date?
Party, party, party!
Give me Frankenhooker.
I gotta take Frankenhooker too. She's too much fun, man. get us your votes by next week, inmates, if you can. The Mental Health Hotline is area code 775-387-0275. Or just go to paddedroompodcast.com, click the Terradome link, or you can contact us with your meat hooks. Mail at paddedroompodcast.com, or just hit the contact us link. You'll get there one way or the other, somehow, some way, I hope. In the meantime, we got to tell you what movies we got to watch this week. A little segment called, What Are You Looking At, Jason?
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking at?
Yeah, buddy, I only got one movie in this week. It's called Enies Men, I think. I'm not sure about the pronunciation of it.
I wasn't sure how to pronounce that either.
Oh, did you watch it too?
No, but I saw that you watched it.
Okay. It's either Ennis or Enis. Or
Anus?
Anus, maybe. I don't know. Basically, it just dropped on Shudder. It's from 2023. You have yourself a horticulturist on a light in a lighthouse type of a situation on a completely abandoned island, studying one flower, one super rare flower that has popped up. And she's there for about a month, and she slowly starts to go crazy, I think. Or the island is haunted, or she kills everybody that comes to the island.
Or
I get that's really about it. It's one of those three for sure. Very slow burn. A lot of this elderly lady walking around looking at flowers. And, you know, characters pop up and you're like, oh, okay, so she's not there alone. There's her friend, but then vanishes. So you're like, oh, okay, that was a figment of her imagination.
Or
maybe it's the ghost of somebody. And then I think we find dead bodies. But I don't know. It could also just be part of her imagination. It's a mind-bendy, twisty kind of a thing. Very slow, though. And like I said, I think there's only like four or five lines in the whole movie.
Never trust a movie you can't pronounce.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. And I was looking for Anus Men, and I got this instead. Disappointed! That's all I'm looking at, big guy. What do you got?
All right. I can't remember where I left off before, but okay. I'll start with... Rewatched Devil.
Very cool.
Solid flick. Rewatched Overlord.
Very cool.
Solid flick. Great opening.
Oh, yeah.
Rewatched Deadstream yet again.
Already.
Rewatched Sisu.
Very cool.
The Pope's Exorcist, as we'll get into.
Mm-hmm.
The Last Voyage of the Demeter.
What do you think of that?
Despite some flaws, I still enjoy it.
Nice.
Still gave it a 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad. It's passable.
Yeah. I was like, rounded up to a 7.
Did you go see it in the theater?
No, we actually rented it.
Apple TV?
Watched it on TV, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, Apple TV, I think it was.
Okay. Right on.
And Run, Rabbit, Run. Watched it last night.
What did you think of that?
Not worth your time.
Really?
Yeah. Really farts out there at the end.
I hate a farting movie.
5 out of 10.
Okay.
Bit redundant.
Mm.
Kind of, you know, predictable in a lot of spots.
I've seen the trailers, and I had a pretty good idea what I would be getting into if I did watch it. Doesn't sound like it deviates from that very much.
Yeah, I didn't. You know what I should do is after watching these movies, I should then go back and watch the trailer just to see how much was given away.
Attaboy. That's a good idea.
That's it for me.
Right on. How about some immersion therapy then?
Yeah, boy.
Immersion therapy.
The Pope's Exorcist there, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that one?
It's fine.
So I'm not mad at it.
No.
I like the, you know, I guess the historical referencing, you know, the Inquisition, all that. I thought the hell pit at the end was a bit much. I mean, it looked cool, but come on, you get a hell pit. Come on. We got to keep 1 foot in reality, don't we?
I mean, it was fine. Yeah. You know, still gave it a 6.
God, Russell Crowe has put on some weight, huh?
Yeah, he's chunked up. But, you know, it worked for him in this role.
Yeah.
It worked for him in that, what was that one movie? He plays like just a fucking sociopath that is trailing this chick.
Yeah, the Road Rage movie, whatever it was called.
That was a good flick.
Yeah, wasn't bad.
Yeah. But it's hard to believe that guy is
Maximus.
Maximus,
yeah,
man.
That's the worst.
Jeez.
It's not bad. It's nothing. You're not going to get anything new. It's your standard possession feature.
Yeah.
You got to call in the big bad exorcist. He's going to sort the whole shit out.
Yeah.
And then he's going to have to, at some point, take the demon into him, because that's what they always do. And then he's going to have to make some grave sacrifice to get the demon out of him.
I guess my biggest complaint was that he seemed to win a little too easy.
Right.
If they had to basically abandon ship on the initial exorcism.
Right.
To the point where you had to lock a motherfucker in a cage
yeah.
in the fiery pits below.
Yeah.
And then seal it off.
What was the point of that, by the way? You know, I can just hang out. I don't need to be in a cage. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll come back every other Wednesday, check on it.
So it seemed like these... I mean, you basically had an exorcist and a half.
Yeah.
Defeat this, you know, this entity. Whereas they couldn't do it before.
No.
Had to redact everything. I don't know.
Yeah. It got very involved with the Vatican, the whole Catholicism angle. It's fine. It's if you ask me, if you want to see a better version of this, watch The Rite with Anthony Hopkins. I think that one was a bit more subdued, but like as far as the story goes and the believability and the Catholic angle, I thought that one was much better.
And Sarah's biggest complaint, and I'll kind of mirror this, it just didn't look like that boy should be coming out of that boy. You know, I understand it's a demonic voice.
Yeah.
But it just
not even close.
Came off a little heavy handed.
Yeah, yeah. And he really hammed it up, the kid did.
A lot of this.
Oh yeah, a lot of
facial tweaking.
Motherfucker, I'm gonna fucking clearly this demon is into hip hop culture because he's
a lot
about,
of pop locking.
Motherfucking fucker. All that shit. It's fine. Check it out if you're interested. I think I'm with Tony. I'm a little burnout on the exorcism stuff. I'll probably pump the brakes at least until this new exorcist situation comes out.
Yeah.
In the meantime, amigo, I think it's time to. Your immersion therapy for this week is going to be The Passenger from 2023, starring Kyle Gallner,
my man.
Check this one out. It's on Amazon right now, inmates. We'll do the same, and we can compare notes next week. But now, you must educate me.
educating Miss Monica.
First, my clues from last week. I am a janitorial engineer, Jason, working at a health club. I have to keep everything sanitary. I'm a bit of a doofus and a social outcast. Lucky for me, though, the hot blonde decides she wants to fuck me in the ladies' room after closing hours. I'm down. Nice. I'm ready. She wants me to put on a pink tutu first. I'm not sure, but I'm not going to say.
Whatever you're into, lady.
I'm already rock hard. I'm not going to say no. And this is when her asshole friends show up and throw me out the window directly into a vat of toxic waste. And now I must go fight crime. I am, of course, the Toxic Avenger. How many of these fucking movies do you think we have now? It'll be at least five, right?
I think there's like five.
Well, I think he was running for president in the last one. It's, what the hell are we doing here, dude?
Make America toxic again.
Hey, let's do it. Let's get on that, stupid. Who might I be this week, you ask? Well, Jason, my mother recently committed suicide, and now my dad has shacked up with a new chick. She committed suicide because my dad left her to be with this other chick. Now my dad wants to take me and my sister and the new chick up to the cabin in the woods during a particularly harsh winter. Well, we are now finding out all kinds of fun facts about the new chick, and she may be a bit unstable. And we also may be a bit unstable. And by the way, why did my dad just leave us here? He just took off to go do some work shit, and now he left me and my sister here with this crazy bitch. Who might I be, you ask?
We do ask.
Tune in next week, and I'll drop some knowledge on you, inmates. In the meantime, I think that's about going to do it for us this week. Thank you very much for joining us. Join us next week for Student Bodies here in High School Month in the Padded Room. We have a Patreon campaign going, if anybody gives a shit. Go to paddedroompodcast.com. Everything you need for all of that stuff is there. Vote on the Terror Dome. Get us your meat hook. Contribute to the Patreon campaign. Check out some gay porn with my face on it. You're going to love it. And really, any other possible thing you need to know about us, you will find there at paddedroompodcast.com. In the meantime, Jason, you got anything else on the week?
That's it for me.
For high schools everywhere, weird concoctions that show up in the chemistry labs, and doofuses that are forced to drink them by pervo janitors, Jason. dead cats who are eating dead guinea pigs. Fucking winter getaways involving possible crazy bitches. And the Padded Room Podcast. I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Bye.